Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're going to talk about the tree canopy, the loss of the tree canopy today, and this is going to be a great show. Brent Hunsinger is back with the Friends of the Rappahannock. Brent, it's good to have you back this morning, your smiling face.
Thank you, sir. Good to be here. I always enjoy being on.
We always get a lot of good information and have a lot of fun with you. And we welcome to the show for the first time from the Chesapeake Bay Foundation. Ann Jersick is here. Ann, good to have you here.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
This is a big issue, Brent. You were in just a few weeks ago, and afterwards we talked, and you had said that this was something we wanted to explore further, and we have talked about it with different people, but you're really involved in this, and this is a concern.
So basically, to help frame the issue is, as we all know, Virginia is growing at a rapid rate. Lots of different types of development, especially along the I-95 and 64 major highway corridors. And something that we are seeing as a result of a lot of different types of development is a rapid loss of urban and suburban tree canopy. And so it's important for a few reasons that we'll get into. Really importantly, Friends of the Rappahannock, we work on this issue, obviously, through restoration with tree plantings, tree giveaways. We have a Rappahannock Carbon program. But it's essentially, at the end of the day, it's all for water quality concerns because mm-hmm. we are trying to meet our bay cleanup goals.
And this is a problem, as we talk about the state growing and the loss of trees. This is a concern right around here right now.
It is, absolutely. So I'll call it the GWRC region, the George Washington Regional Commission, Planning District 16. So interestingly enough, we have tree canopy loss data from 2014 to 2018. We're hopefully going to have the updated data from 2018 to 2022 by the middle of this year, hopefully. From doing the analyzing digitally, the GWRC region lost 4,333 acres of tree canopy to develop the lands. To break that down, Stafford County was the second highest in Virginia, 2,016 acres, Spotsylvania 1,484, King George 104, Fredericksburg 30, and then Caroline 699. So you can see as that adds up, it doesn't take long for that to occur.
Boy, it sure doesn't when you put it in that light on all of this.
And, you know, considering this is pre-2018, this does not take into account development such as the expansion of I-95 in the middle. A lot of natural growth from a lot of housing because everyone's coming for Fredericksburg area is a great place to live. And then a couple of other things related to more lately, data center expansion, as well as then everything that's going to power that, such as utility scale solar and that associated infrastructure.
So it all starts to add up.
Add up.
So, Ann, as you look upon this statewide, and we talk about with water quality and all the different things, this would be a concerning thing to the Chesapeake Bay Foundation.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that's one of the hardest sources of pollution to treat is stormwater. And every time we cut down trees, we're cutting down, the ability. I look at trees as infrastructure, right? They hold a tremendous amount of water and slowly release it. But, you know, there have been some studies that have shown that, a one-acre parking lot releases almost a little over 27,000 gallons of water, right, into our streams. Just rolls off, and it takes all the stuff that's on that parking lot, oil and other pollutants, directly into our streams. Whereas if that land were a forest, well, it filters that water slowly, also recharges our groundwater, but then slowly releases it into the stream, and it's much cleaner and it's cooler. But the volume is tremendously reduced. And it's funny because I pick up a lot of phone calls. Our office is in Henrica County, and when my phone rings, it's frequently somebody to call to say, the creek in my backyard has started to erode, and I'm losing my backyard. And I'm like, okay, has anything happened upstream of you? And they'll go, well, yeah, they put in that, you know, they put in that parking lot, or they put in that strip mall, or they, you know, it, there was some usually construction that's slightly upgrade of them. And now, I mean, that land use change means that we've got just a tremendous amount of volume that is eating out, you know, the edges of those streams.
You don't think about it just piece by piece, but right. All of a sudden it starts to add up.
Right. I mean, you know, the trees act as sponges, right? Forests act as sponges. So they, you know, they slow down water, but they also filter it. And, you know, we're also going to have a problem here with groundwater, right, in Virginia. We've got a... We won't have enough water in the future for everybody. We need to be able to recharge that groundwater, and trees also forests also accomplish that.
That's right. East of 95, Department of Environmental Quality is already making a lot of counties east of 95 go from groundwater because the aquifer is so low. They're making them go over to surface water, which we're already beginning to see with several applications in even in the GWRC region to go to surface water withdrawal off of the Rappahannock to get off of the wells that are going dry and really decreasing.
So. Yeah. So and if that continues, that would seem like it will have an impact on the Rappahannock.
Eventually, yes, because you know it's the question is how much water is allocated to whom and what that cumulative effect is over time.
Right. How many straws there are into that one river, right?
Yeah. Well, I noticed from here, just from here, if you go Route 3 to Culpeper to 29 and then to Charlottesville, there are a lot of just, you know, these shopping centers. You've got mm-hmm. the Publix in that area on Route 3, but you keep going, as you keep going west, and especially as you go in toward Charlottesville, there really are a lot of these things, like you say, as these continue to pop up, it causes problems downstream.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't think either Brent or I are advocating that we slow down development, but we are asking for development to be more intentional.
Sure.
I mean, you know, when you see just an 5 acres of parking and think about a Winn-Dixie. Well, I guess we don't have Winn-Dixies anymore, but think about the, you know, larger grocery stores. They typically have about 5 acres of parking. Well, that surface is not doing well. It's doing a couple things. First, it's usually asphalt, so it's absorbing heat, right? And in our urban centers, urban heat islands are killers, right? Dr. Jeremy Hoffman did this study in Richmond and Southside Richmond where he had people go and measure ambient temperature both in the morning and in the evening. And in areas that were formerly redline communities, those areas had a 16-degree difference. It was hotter by 16 degrees in the evening than the areas that are slightly more affluent but had more tree canopy. So, you know, those back to those parking lots, they just sit there and they absorb heat all day. If we could just even shade our parking lots and our streets, that's going to reduce that urban heat island effect. And, you know, heat is the number one weather killer. We worry about flooding and we worry about tornadoes. But, you know, if you look at the number of deaths caused by weather-related, it's heat tops that list.
So, a great way to look at this is if you go to an area where there are trees in a parking lot and the parking lot is not full, but people are just arriving and you see where people begin to park.
Mm-hmm.
Where
be me.
Where are you going to park?
You're going to park under the tree.
You park underneath where the tree is in the best spot because that's the place that's going to keep your car shade. So I guess we inherently go towards those areas anyway, and so we just need to provide more of those in those parking lots, like she said, to provide more shade in those strips in between, you know, the parking decks, or lack of a better term.
Right,
so.
Right.
We can take a quick break. We're going to continue this conversation. Good stuff. The loss of the tree canopy in the region and the state are our focus this morning with Brent Hunsinger and Ann Jersick. And we will continue on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
We're talking about the loss of the tree canopy this morning with Ann Jersick with the Chesapeake Bay Foundation and Brent Hunsinger with Friends of the Rappahannock. And a little bit about Chesapeake Bay Foundation in case people don't know or want to join or get involved with what you're doing.
Yeah, it says CBF, our mission is to save the bay. We've been at it for a little over 50 years. We just celebrated our 50th anniversary, and we've got a couple hundred thousand members in the watershed. But I think folks don't realize how large the watershed is, right? I mean, 64,000 square miles. And
it's like up to Pennsylvania, isn't it?
And further north.
Okay.
Yeah, further north. So
Cooperstown, New York.
Yeah, I give a talk sometimes, okay, and I say, if you were to put that little rubber ducky into the creek that's behind Cooperstown, right, at the Baseball Hall of Fame, eventually it would make its way to the Susquehanna. And that's the largest source of fresh water that comes into the bay. Like roughly 50% of the fresh water that comes in the bay is from the Susquehanna. And then it dumps into Maryland. But yeah, it's definitely all through Pennsylvania.
That's even bigger. It's way bigger than I ever knew.
And then, but that's like the challenge as well as the opportunity, I guess, is there are so many people who just don't realize that they live in the Bay watershed, and so just education and say, hey, did you know that the water here eventually, and this is like all the way up in the Shenandoah Valley, right? Eventually, all that water is going to reach the bay. So that's part of our effort, and just like Friends of the Rappahannock is, you guys do a lot to encourage people to take care of that individual river, but we have to look after all the tributaries that are bringing water into the bay.
Well, and every year I know the Chesapeake Bay Foundation just puts out a report card on the bay, and unfortunately, I mean, it's improved a little bit over time, but there's still a lot of work to be done.
There's absolutely a lot of work to be done. Where we've made a tremendous amount of progress, most folks, I think a lot of folks know that the problem with the bay is largely too many nutrients, right? I mean, a little bit of nutrient is great, and I'm talking about nitrogen and phosphorus primarily, but sediment as well. Once you, those three things combine, that's what causes algal blooms, right? Once that algal bloom, once it happens, the algae decomposes. And when that happens, it just sucks all the oxygen out of the water column. And that's why we've got dead zones, right? So that's what we're trying to stop. And so even, little tiny changes that we could make. I mean, I live in downtown Fredericksburg, and I see my neighbors, for instance, sometimes they have yard care folks come by, and they'll fertilize their lawns. And then when they leave, sometimes there's fertilizer still on the sidewalk or on the driveway. And, and I'll go across the street and say, just pretty please ask them to sweep that back into their lawn because,
right,
that fertilizer on a hard surface, the next time it rains, that's going straight into your storm drain and ultimately into that creek or stream and eventually into the Rappahannock. So it's little things like that I think that we could all do.
And Brent, that's one of the great things Friends of the Rappahannock around here has really done well on, about alert, making us aware of those kinds of things that Ann talked about, that things that you do in your yard can have an impact, a negative impact on the bay, or positive.
Absolutely. I would say education and outreach is absolutely one of our strengths. So if people don't know, Friends of the Rappahannock is our local watershed group. We do work with Chesapeake Bay Foundation and many other watershed groups in Virginia on a partner-to-partner basis, but also as part of the Virginia Conservation Network, which is kind of the umbrella group for advocacy efforts, I would say. But Ann and I have spent many days walking the halls of the General Assembly.
That's right. We team up a lot.
We do. So it is. We do have fun. But the answer is absolutely education with folks, whether it's with students all the way up to adults at any of the festivals, Earth Day or any community. There's another one coming up soon, I think, out at the Potawatomi Tribe in Stafford, that will kind of have a lot of education to it about all the different conservation opportunities for people. So it's spread out throughout the year. It's not just limited to Earth Day.
as you do walk the halls of the General Assembly, I'm sure that you're educating everyone like you, Mike. You have on a couple of things with me already this morning. There really is a lack of knowledge on some of these things.
You want to talk about some of
this? Yeah. No, so, you know, at the top of the show, Brent talked about the individual loss that was happening in different localities here. So one of the things that we did is for legislators, we pulled all those individual numbers and the fact sheets for those areas and just, you know, hand walked those to their office so that each legislator knew how much tree canopy they had lost in their district.
Yeah.
And I think this year, there was a tremendous amount of interest from legislators that we had many people calling to say that they wanted to carry a tree bill specifically. So I think what's happening is constituents are calling their representatives to say, hey, we're losing too many trees in our community or in our neighborhoods. And that now is, I think, what the push is towards legislation to try to slow some of this loss.
Well, and Brent and mentioned some numbers with a study in Richmond. I know around here I've heard, I think the number I've heard around here was that on a given day that there was a test done, that there was like a 17-degree difference from Caroline County to downtown Fredericksburg. And that's, you know, matches up with what she talked about in another part of the
That's
state.
Right. It was stunning. Actually, the number was 16 degrees. Ours was, I believe, 17 degrees, the difference between Caroline County. It was a study done by FOR and GWRC, Urban Heat Island, where they took temperatures. I forget a lot of the details of the individual places, but the hottest place was North Stafford High School. The coolest place was in Caroline County, where you would think probably where there's plenty of trees and more shade in that area. But it found the same thing, that those areas that have lots of impervious surface, concrete, asphalt, and then those areas that have lots of trees that are just serving as that big cooling, like a natural cooler with that. So it's no surprise that people are beginning to notice where we have removed a lot of those trees. They're beginning to deal with things, maybe some water quality issues that we've already mentioned, air quality, the heat islands. So if anyone doesn't know what a heat island is essentially an area, we kind of discovered this, where there's a lack of trees and you're just getting intense amounts of heat, especially during the warmer months, and that heat doesn't go away because it kind of gets radiated out. And that has severe health effects with people, but also there's kind of economic effects with those too in those areas with property values.
Yeah, you would think so. And you talked about just the runoff with storms, and it seems like there used to you always could count on that there would be a few of those every year. It just seems like there are more.
There are. Okay. Yeah, there absolutely are. I mean, you know, it's projected to get hotter and wetter, right? So whether you believe that climate change is human caused or not, it's definitely changing. And I think everybody recognizes that. I mean, just even in our yard, I was looking over the years and going, man, my daffodils are blooming a week and a half earlier, right? The fruit trees are blooming a little bit earlier. This is strange. But anyway, the hotter and wetter, I mean, those are two things that, back to trees, that tree canopy can help in both regards, right? I mean, like I said, they act as filters, but they also absorb a tremendous amount of water. So, you know, not all of that water that comes down in those big storms you were just referring to is going to necessarily go into the creeks and streams and cause that stormwater runoff problem. So.
No, I was just going to say, because I noticed the same thing. I'm mowing the mowing season for my lawn starts 2-3 weeks earlier than it ever did. I was used to, I could always look at the calendar and know that the weekend of the Masters in early April was when I would have to mow, and now I'm mowing middle of March.
I was about to say it's March, middle of March, that we're beginning to break the lawnmower out. It's a lot earlier.
So that's why some of these, you know, whether it's the tree planting efforts that Friends of the Rappahannock doing, any of these kinds of things are sorely needed.
Yeah, so it's really interesting. That brings up a great point, is that we have started to be able to plant trees earlier. It used to be like March when we would begin. And really, it's easier to begin tree planting down by the Chesapeake Bay, and you work your way up to the mountains because it's a little bit warmer down there. And we are beginning to be able, now it's year to year, but start planting in February.
Right.
You know, and plant, and we want to be done by the middle of April, if possible, especially downriver from Fredericksburg, because it's getting too hot. And you just want to have those trees in the ground to make sure they're getting those cooling rains. And then we are on the other end in the fall, we're able to plant into December some years.
Oh,
we
absolutely.
Planted 20 acres in King George County in December of 2022.
Yeah, I definitely planted the first week of December last year.
Right. So those.
And interesting.
It's it is interesting because it'll allow the growing season to be a little bit longer. So maybe they'll be leafed out longer. But the other impact it can have is some of our tree species that we're planting now, you know. We're South Carolina, I believe, is.
Yeah, we're having to start to look south to see
what trees,
you know, trees that were native there
here in the coming years. Red, and like for example, red oak species, like red oaks, and they're associated in that family. I believe, from what I've been told, and I am not an arborist, but so I will stand to be corrected. But they are dying out, and one of the reasons they think they are dying off and struggling in our region is because of more intense heat and maybe increased. Precipitation as well, so it's, you know, we're beginning to see effects from.
Interesting.
That.
That's something I never even thought of.
Right.
You never know. If someone wants to find out more information about Friends of the Rappahannock, how can they do that or get involved with Friends of the Rappahannock?
Absolutely. So our website's the best. Riverfriends.org is the best place to find us. You can also come see us in one of our offices in Culpeper, Fredericksburg. We also have an office in Tappahannock as well. So.
Just the fact that the Chesapeake Bay Foundation is much bigger than I ever thought. It's amazing to me that, you know, into the Northern Neck and all the different areas that FOR is involved with.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've expanded our range. We've been involved in the past, but we really at no point have we been as large with as many employees in our reach through education, restoration, or advocacy. To be perfectly honest, we should be, with the amount of money that's coming out for Chesapeake Bay restoration, or even with the a lot of the federal infrastructure money that has come. We've been blessed to receive a good amount of money, and specifically also for tree planting. You know, we've discussed the fact that we're not going to be able to plant our way out of this problem. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we can discuss some of those individual bills here in a minute.
Yeah.
But Friends of the Rappahannock ourselves, you know, we have multiple grants right now for tree planting. Recently, we received a grant for about $468,000 for urban and community forestry. So that'll be going forward. And then others, including Trees for Clean Water, which is about $50,000 at a time. And then we just signed up with DOF for riparian buffers for landowners, which is another shot of about $100,000 for the Rappahannock and maybe $85,000 for the York River Basin. And then there's other smaller grants that we can layer on top of those. So we are certainly coming to the table with resources to try and help people, whether it's agriculture or suburban or urban, to plant those trees as well. So, and, you know, we've planted, I have it actually, in 2023 and 2022, we've planted about 80,000 trees total, which is fantastic. But at the end of the day, like I said, planted trees are great because we're reforesting areas. But without the ability to try and conserve some of our mature, intact forests.
Because it takes time.
Yeah. You know, we're losing canopy at a pretty rapid rate. We are trying to come up with some resources to help stem the loss and turn that tide of loss. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that we're going to increase canopy. At this point, with the resources that we have, we're trying to stem the rate of loss and bring that back a little bit from where we are currently.
Nick, take a quick break, and we're going to continue this conversation. And before we do take that break, if someone wants to get a hold of Chesapeake Bay Foundation, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, but just like Brent, the best way is to go to cbf.org.
Right? cbf.org.
Yeah, O-R-G.
More coming up. Good stuff this morning on Tree Canopy Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:31.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fredericksburg. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Good stuff this morning with Friends of the Rappahannock and the Chesapeake Bay Foundation. Ann Jersick here from Chesapeake Bay Foundation and Brett Hunsinger from Friends of the Rappahannock. The loss of the tree canopy. I like what you said before we took the break, Brent, was that we can't plant our way out of this. And I know you two have talked about, you know, walking the halls in the General Assembly and in talking to legislators. Talk about what's happening and what we can be looking for, or even pushing, whether it's boards of supervisors, city council, or General Assembly members on some of these things.
Yeah, so there were several tree bills this year. I would say the two most important ones, unfortunately, were vetoed at the last minute, and we were certainly disappointed by that because it made it further than they ever had before. They made it out of both the House and the Senate. But, you know, to Brent's point before the break, we need to do a better job of conserving trees and during the development process. And one of the bills, HB 1100, was brought forward by Delegate Carr, and that's what it would have done. It would have said it gives additional incentives to developers if they are intentional about protecting trees during the development process. It gives them more tree canopy credit. And just that, if we had, right now, that language is currently available for only Planning District 8, which is Northern Virginia. That's like Loudoun, Arlington, Alexandria, Fairfax County, et cetera. So those localities have access to tree conservation ordinances, but no other localities, you know, so Fredericksburg doesn't, Stafford doesn't, Spotsy doesn't, as well as Richmond and all the Hampton Roads localities. So we wanted all localities within, at least within the Bay watershed, but preferably across the entire state, to have access to those tree conservation ordinances.
Just because there was so much growth and everything in Virginia,
that is
needed.
Exactly. It's the municipalities or the localities that are growing, like she said, Hampton Roads, Richmond, up along your, you know, the 95, 64 corridors and other highways, if I'm forgetting them, forgive me. But there are, you know, your urban and suburban cores are really need, in our opinion, really need the authority to conserve tree canopy, as well as there was another bill, I guess that one's 529.
Yeah, the replacement bill.
There was a tree replacement bill as well that would have allowed localities to require increased percentages of canopy replacement on a site. The other important thing it would have done is create a tree fund. And what a tree fund is essentially, if I'm a developer and I have my piece of property and I cannot meet the required tree canopy percentages on that piece of property, they can pay into that fund that the locality government would hold.
Okay.
And so then that they could then administer that and plant those trees either on public land or work with folks like Tree Fredericksburg or Friends of the Rappahannock or whoever local nonprofits that do tree planting of some kind to plant those trees within that municipality on private land as well for people. There's tons of people who would love to have more trees in their yard, and that would be another way to get that to them. So the important part was 529 and 1100 essentially worked together. They were two different bills, but they worked together because it addressed the replacement during the development process, but also the conservation of your mature trees during the development process as well.
Well, and just even the look of a development, I can remember a few years ago, Tree Fredericksburg giving a presentation to City Council and showing a street without trees and a tree in a street with trees, and just the value of those homes with the trees and just how it looks is just common sense.
Yeah, I mean, I was telling Brent during the break that while when we had a choice of where we were going to move, we were moving from Fredericksburg, from Williamsburg about 9 years ago. And so we needed to be, my husband commuted up to D.C. every day. We needed to be close to the VRE line. But we specifically looked at Spotsy, we looked at Stafford, but we chose Fredericksburg. And even knowing that the property taxes are a little bit higher in Fredericksburg than they are in the surrounding localities, because it was, you could clearly see all those Gator bags that had Tree Fredericksburg on them, right? I was like, you know, there's intention here. There, I know what this street's going to look like in the future, this newly planted tree. It may take it 5 years or 10 years before that canopy starts to, you know, reach across the street and touch them. We've got closed canopy. But boy, it's going to be a nicer place to live.
Yeah.
So that was a conscious decision on our part.
That was, because I told you, my wife chose where we live just because the neighborhood had trees, and she felt like we wouldn't have to run the air conditioner all summer.
Yeah, so that's something else that we haven't touched on yet is how much trees cool our homes, right?
Yeah.
But there's been Department of Energy partnered with the U.S. Forest Service to do a study a few years ago that said if your air handler is shaded, then you can reduce your cooling bill by as much as 40%, right? So, I mean, you think about that for people who have, the window AC units, that if those are shaded, that it's not having to work as hard in order to cool the air. I mean, that's a huge difference in your summertime power bill.
I would say people might have questions about putting trees, what types of trees would be best to put around infrastructure in their yards. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of resources out there for people to have those questions answered, whether it's you have soil and water concert or extension. But we have staff. FOR has an urban and community forestry specialist that we've hired that can help answer some of those questions as well. The DOF has plenty of resources as well. So there's a lot of folks out there that can give technical assistance and answer those questions about which tree is best and where in your yard.
That's right. Yeah. I'm an arborist, but that tree does not need to be right beside the house in order to provide those cooling benefits, right? It just needs to shade the house or shade the unit.
Yeah.
But even a dogwood, right? Something really small or a redbud, those trees are not tall. They're not going to ever get very big, but they can shade that AC unit. So just something even small like that could be helpful.
Yeah, and if it may give your unit a few more years of life because it's not working as hard, like you said.
You know, speaking of years of life, parking lots. We were talking about the need to shade parking lots. There's been a study that both streets and parking lots don't need to be paved as often because sunlight deteriorates the surface. So if we can shade the surface, those parking lots will last longer. So, it's just a UV light breaks down the asphalt. So that's just it's another reason why we need to shade those areas.
And that's a huge expense when
you've got to resurface.
Yeah.
So kind of bringing it back. So we discussed a couple of the bills that unfortunately were vetoed. And then we will continue to work on that this year. Honestly, I think we can all admit we can do a better job of creating our ground game and a bigger base of support for these bills. And that's something that's inherent upon us to do, to work with everyone to do that. There was a success. Anne, you want to talk a little bit more about House Bill 309? So I should say Anne is viewed by the conservation community as kind of like the Lorax. She leads the tree movement amongst the VCN folks. She is the Lorax of the conservation community in Virginia, and I'm very proud to work with her all the time, blessed to do so. And she was very instrumental in helping get House Bill 309 passed, which established a statewide forest conservation plan. Anne, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about the loss of trees, and the nice thing about HB 309 is it was Delegate Hope's bill, the Forest Conservation Act, and it'll help us really do a better job of saying exactly where we're losing trees and to what land use, right? Because Brent talked about some of the potential land use losses that we've got, but I couldn't tell you exactly what the drivers are. And in addition to the development that he talked about, but we also know that we've got tree loss from invasive species. We've got tree loss from, from oak wilt disease in some forest. We've got forests that are not regenerating because of too much browse pressure from deer. I mean, so we've got a lot of different pressures on our forest, and the Forest Conservation Act is going to provide us really, it's a stakeholder group that will meet and largely do a lot of analysis using that 5-meter resolution data, that LIDAR data that has given us the tree canopy assessments that the localities are using. But it'll help us do a better job, I think, of planning and knowing where the loss is. That'll help us from a policy perspective to say, these are things that we could do differently. We could develop smarter. We can conserve here and here. Reconnecting forest fragments is another thing that we're concerned about, for a couple different reasons. One is just from a wildlife corridor perspective, right? We want to have safe places for wildlife to travel. But also that once you fragment a forest, you start opening it up to both diseases and invasive species. And once we start even just putting a road in the middle, of a track of land, that road is all of a sudden you've sort of introduced changes to that forest, and it can certainly accommodate a long driveway. I'm not saying we can't build roads or build driveways into forest. But it does change the landscape there. And what you almost immediately see is, as soon as you let sunlight come in where there used to be, intact forest, now you've got the disturbed soil, and that just acts as a magnet for invasive species.
If you want to see a great example, you can go to Caledon State Park and see the stilt grass that surrounds all
over
the gravel roads. And it's because as they created those roads, which are a great trail network, absolutely, it just, those little invasive species came in, and they reproduce via seed sometimes, and like just the amount of seeds, and it just goes crazy. Anywhere you have kind of
disturbed soil.
So. Interesting. Mm-hmm. There are so many cause and effect things here that we often don't think about, or and that's why it's good that there's Chesapeake Bay Foundation, Friends of the Rappahannock, to be able to call out on some of this.
So I guess one other thing is I'm a huge birder, right? I mean, I absolutely love seeing the birds coming by my backyard. And I know I'm sure you've got a lot of listeners who go, I love the birds in my backyard. And there's millions of people who feed their birds, and yet they're willing to cut down that big old tree that's in their backyard because maybe they're tired of raking up the leaves, or maybe, the acorns falling on their house. It could be all sorts of things. But those trees are what's providing the nutrition for baby birds, because mama birds have to feed their young caterpillars. And so those trees are where we have the larvae for moths and butterflies. And that's where those mama birds have to go, like a chickadee, for instance. Doug Talmy did this study. It's like a chickadee has to feed its young over 1,000 caterpillars in order to fledge, the new brood of chickadees. I'm like, can you imagine? I mean, that's a busy mama, bird, right?
Yeah.
But those trees are, I mean, they're not just nesting habitat, but they're providing that food source, because think about it. A mama bird cannot chew up that sunflower seed and spit it out to her babies, but that's what she does with those caterpillars.
No, it's good. And as far as the birds and trees and in all of that, it's all connected.
It's funny too, because we all have our thought processes on the things we communicate.
Yeah,
like she's all, and I love birds and the bees. Like, but it, like we've had this conversation that for me, when communicating to the public, like the birds and the bees, people are like already converted in my mind. It's like for me, it's like, how are we convincing people of like the economics and like to view trees as like a piece of your your house, like, you know, critical infrastructure to be maintained.
Yeah.
And that's, to me, that's like my kind of personal way to communicate.
Need to take a quick break. We're going to wrap this up with Brent and Ann this morning. Loss of the tree canopy, our focus, and this is going to be a to-be-continued kind of show, just because there are issues out there that we'll continue to hear more about. We'll conclude when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Good stuff this morning with Brent Hunsinger and Ann Jersick with Chesapeake Bay Foundation, Brent, with Friends of the Rappahannock. Before we get out of here, we'll a little bit about where do we go from here?
Great question. So we fully, as we've acknowledged, we have a lot of work ahead of us. Our hope is to work towards the 2025 General Assembly. Hopefully we'll have some tree bills brought back, and hopefully we can get those passed and signed by the governor this year coming up. A couple things I think we need to do is very much work on the conservation of healthy, mature trees. And you know, that some of that goes through homeowner education. We'll continue to replant where we can, do some tree giveaways. Essentially, it come down to what we call stopping the bleed. So stopping the bleed of the loss as much as we can, reforest where we can, but very much so work with local government and industry leaders to try and figure out what it is we can all do to work together to have successful bills that will be passed through the General Assembly and to be signed by the governor in 2025, we hope, very much.
Yeah, I mean, I agree completely. We need to stop the bleed. We need to reforest where we can. The bills this year will bring very similar bills, I think, this year as we supported last year. I mean, my hope is that all of our local leaders are going to look at trees as the critical infrastructure that they are, right? They can help reduce and mitigate flooding, you know, air quality, temperatures, et cetera. But, you know, and also I want homeowners to look at those large, healthy trees in their backyard and just look at them with wonder, because they are these amazing, and just the value that they bring to us from a health and mental health and our physical health. You know, we need every one of those trees, and they'll also help us be a climate ready commonwealth, and that's something that we really need to focus on to reduce our carbon footprint in the state.
There's nothing like laying out in a hammock in the summer and just looking up.
That's right.
At the trees above you.
It's so peaceful.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
In the shade by the trees.
In the shade.
And watching the clouds go by just on the other side of the canopy. So we have the best of both worlds.
Yeah. Now, I mean, there's so much practical stuff here.
Right. Right.
And ultimately it does help the environment. It helps the bay.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the other thing that we're hoping for in the coming years is I'd really like all of our state agencies to be, you know, to be partners in this tree conservation effort. There's an opportunity, I think, for us to work with VDOT so that they're a partner in conservation and replanting. And, you know, they're really, really good at building roads, and it's a civil engineering, you know, infrastructure, amazing thing to watch our roads go in. But I also want them to look at some of those trees and go, yeah, I think we may, if we looked at them a little differently, we might be able to protect some of these that are on our on-ramps and off-ramps. So anyway.
Yeah, I would say on the local level too, at least Friends of the Rappahannock, you know, we have some ideas in mind of some communities that we're going to try and work with as well in the future that we have not been as effective in communicating with and trying to work with. So hopefully stay tuned for more to come on a few different fronts with this. Obviously, restoration-wise and advocacy, replanting, and local and state legislatively. And I think we'll hopefully, if we do our job, we'll make some gains this year.
That's right.
In the tree world.
A broader and deeper coalition.
Thank you both for coming in. Thank you for what you're doing. And we'll continue to have this discussion in these types of shows. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having us.
And Jerzyk with the Chesapeake Bay Foundation, cbf.org. Brent Hunziker, Friends of the Rappahannock, riverfriends.org. Get involved with those groups and get involved. Thanks for listening. See you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.